Blog Talk Radio.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Good morning, listeners, and welcome to the Dynamic Dojo Talk Radio Show with Rosita de Jesus and Robert Deal. It's 11 a.m., and we're on a weird time because it's our Sunday brunch show, May 19th, 2013. So, as you know, we usually have our show at 6 p.m. every Sunday, except for every third Sunday, because I got stuff to do at night, and we got to do the show during the day. So, we've got the Sunday brunch show. So before we get the show started, because we've got a really great show, I'd like to bring on my co-host and brother in martial arts, Sifu Robert Deal. Sifu Bob, how are you doing today?
Oh, man, Sifu, I am doing great. The weather down in Los Angeles, you can't beat it. Right now it's like 70 degrees and not a cloud in the sky. Beautiful
weather. Ooh, perfect.
So,
that's perfect.
So this week, I just got a couple things because we've got a great show, just a jam-packed show. With some great artists, great inductees into the Masters Hall of Fame. About a year ago, less than that, I get a call from some guy. And he said, you know, your daughter wrote this monologue. I said, okay, yeah, and? She's in sixth grade when she wrote it.
Uh-huh.
And this guy says, we want to publish it. And I said, what? You want to publish the work of a sixth grader? And he says, yeah. And so all of a sudden, the other day, this book comes in the mail, and my daughter comes out and says, Dad, I just got this book. I don't remember ordering it. Well, it's a book with her monologue in it, and it's called One-on-One, and I am very, very proud of her. At sixth grade, to get something published? That's unheard of.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. You know, I mean, I'm wondering whether or not, like, one of these days we should have her on the show just to, you know, just to give her kudos and for her to read her monologue.
Oh, that would be cool.
Would she trip out about that?
Well, she said they changed a lot of it, and she's a little upset about it. But it was just cool to see her name on the book. This week was pretty happening. My daughter performed in her last choir performance of the year, and my son last night performed in what they call the Burroughs Bowl, which is his high school. It's sort of like an outdoor in the quad with lights going and It was really cool. He got a solo. And you have to remember, we're in the media capital of the world. So to find somebody that does lighting or that works for a studio or something else is very easy to do. So they have professionals in their lighting for him. It's actually really cool.
Very cool. That had to have been bittersweet, though, you know, to have the last concert of their high school career and stuff like that. That's you know, bittersweet, kind of fun, kind of sad at the same time.
Yeah, you know, we saw a friend of ours after the show. She says, what's this mean that, Brandon's graduating? What's this mean? I said, he's going to start paying rent.
That's right. Oh, my goodness. Oh, get a job, pay some rent.
Right.
Oh, man. That's funny. I only have one announcement. This is just a reminder to my Seattle friends that because we're having our Sunday brunch show today, the reason why is because we're having our monthly Snapdragons Bullwhip study group practice. And we're not going to have it at Sanka this time around. So if you're listening out there, you know, we're not going to have it at Sanka. We're going to have it at Gasworks Park. So I'll meet everyone at Gasworks Park. Near the entrance from the parking lot at Gasworks Park, and then we'll find some place to go. It looks like the weather might hold up, so we're not going to get rained on. It'll be cloudy, but if it does rain, we'll just go under the covered area over there. So anyway, that's just the one announcement for.
Oh, very cool. I have one more.
Sure.
Forgot. And now Seafood Daisy, our first guest. There's no problem with her. She got her paperwork in. She was inducted to the Masters Hall of Fame. But I just want to tell everybody, if you haven't got your paperwork in, if you're inducted this year, we bought a couple extra weeks on the deadline. The deadline is now May Is there 30 days or 31 days in this month? 30?
I don't remember.
whatever
the last day is, right?
31st. Whatever the last day is, which is May 31st, that's the deadline. You can fax your paperwork in, mail it in, carrier pigeon, don't care.
Okay, good. Good, good, good. Awesome. We have someone calling already from area code 818. So, and they actually pressed 1 and want to talk to us. So let's see who it is. So area code 8. Yeah, I know. Area code 818, last four numbers 7400. Who's this?
Hello, this is Shion Jacob Russell. Good morning to you.
Oh, hi, Shion Jacob.
Good morning,
Shion. How are
you? I decided to call you. You see, how's it going with you guys?
Oh, pretty good. Pretty good. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for calling in. We're doing pretty good. Looks like you guys down there are having a little bit of better weather than we are up here in Seattle.
Uh-huh. Always.
Oh, yeah.
Are you whipping anybody today, Sensei?
Later on, yes.
Hey, when are you going to come to Los Angeles and visit? You're welcome to come to my school and do a demonstration.
You know, I would love to, Shion. I would love to. I'm guessing, I don't know how it's going to work during the Masters Hall of Fame, but I don't know. Maybe.
When is the Masters Hall of Fame this year?
The 22nd of June.
22nd of June? Oh, that's coming next month.
Uh-huh.
Damn. All right. Did they set up all the instructors already, or since Greg is going to be around or no?
Yeah, since Greg is going to be around, and we've chosen all the instructors for the seminars. We're having actually 2 days of seminars this year.
Right. Where is it going to be again?
OC Hilton in Costa Mesa.
Costa Mesa, okay. All right, yeah, maybe I will come out this time.
That
very cool.
Cool.
We look forward to it.
Very cool. Awesome. Well, thanks for...
Go ahead.
Oops,
I said to Robert, I didn't make it to the park today, but I'm going to some big fights at Nokia Center for MMA. My Israeli friend Dean Orstein is doing a fight there, so I'm going to go support him.
Awesome.
Oh, very cool.
Yep, yep. It's from Aziz Jiu-Jitsu, Israeli Jiu-Jitsu. It's called Issa Drut, and he's been like nonstop winning. He's a pretty tough kid. Studies with us also in the House of Champions.
Nice.
Awesome. Very
I'm
cool.
I'm plugging in a little bit on your radio, and what the hell?
Yeah, that'd be cool. Well, feel free to stay on the line because we've got one of our guests coming up here in the next couple seconds, and if you'd like, you can join us for some questions. That would be cool. Awesome. Thank you. All right, so our next guest is a confirmed nominee to the 2013 Masters Hall of Fame. And if I remember correctly, she is a fourth degree black belt in Wan Hop Kendo under Grandmaster Al Dacascos, and has also studied Wan Hop Kendo Faircloth Method with Sifu Terry Faircloth, and is currently teaching regular classes at the Teen Life Center and Garfield Community Center here in Seattle, Washington. So it's my pleasure and honor to welcome Sifu Daisy LaPointe to the show. Sifu Daisy, how are you today?
Doing wonderful. Doing wonderful. We don't have the weather in California, but it's not raining.
Yeah, it's not raining.
Yeah,
knock
just wait 10 minutes.
Yeah, yeah, I know, right? Knock on wood, because I got to go outside later on and do some whip practice. I want some real weather. So Sifu Daisy, thank you again for joining us for the Sunday Brunch Show on Dynamic Dojo. So for our listeners out there, if you have questions for any of our guests, in this case right now, Sifu Daisy LaPointe, our phone number here is 347-677-0699, or we've got our chat board on the Blog Talk Radio show marquee. So feel free to type in your questions there. And we also have Shion Jacob Wrestler with us, who's agreed to just stay on the line and hang out. And if he has any questions for you, Sifu, I'm sure he'll ask. So thanks for calling in, Shion Jacob.
No,
all right,
no problem.
Sifu Daisy, what we usually like to do is kind of get a lowdown on our guests' beginnings in the martial arts. So could you tell our listeners a little bit about how you got attracted to martial arts and what got you started in martial arts, and a little bit about your journey in martial arts.
Sure. It all started, actually, I was living in Los Angeles, TV series Kung Fu with David Carradine. It wasn't so much the physical, and I know he's just an actor, but he always seemed, Mr. Carradine always seemed to be at peace with himself, and sometimes, you know, if you live in California, things get a little nuts for you. And I go, God, I want what that guy got. You know, because if you remember the series, he's just walking through the continent of China, just kicking ass. Well, I didn't want to do that. I just wanted peace. So when I arrived in Washington a few years later, there was a school on Pacific Highway ran by now Professor Terry Faircloth. And Professor Faircloth brought me from white belt to second degree black belt. And I had a couple of schools here, and I go, this is nice, a dream I thought I could never do. And I go, I can't do what those men are doing. But I stuck to it, and I was promoted. It's Sifu to up to fifth level under Sifu L, and recently promoted again, God is giving, promoted to sixth level under Sifu, Rusty, and Takabuto. And also, I've studied our niece with Sensei Dave Bird. The art was called Taisho Our Niece, and I'm studying Dose Paris right now with Sifu Rusty and Guru Cheryl Johnson. And I am having the time of my life.
Wow, Sensei, we know a lot of people together.
And
awesome.
I'm grateful, very grateful for these women to be in my life, because at the Teen Light Center, I work with kids at risk. And I do mean kids at risk. I've been involved with the DA, because at the... We'll settle down now, and Sifu can tell you about the high crime rate here in the city. You can't save them all, but the ones that I can, it was really challenging at first, because I go, how in the world am I to bring these children to black belt level? You can't. You can fix them. So they do not have the opportunity of going to structured classes. A matter of fact, paying for classes, and that's where I step in. And I really do it with hard love. You know? You know.
Tough love. That's right.
I mean,
and you,
it's nothing
you
like
have...
going in the men's restroom, finding a firearm, you know?
Oh, whoa. Wow.
And then having the place locked down. But still, I don't know what, I have no idea what keeps me there. Some of the kids go away to college, come back solid. And some, not so much. Some, you know, you lose. But if I could continue to just reach one kid out of every generation, I feel like I've done a lot.
Yeah. Oh, yes, you have. I've been to... for our listeners out there, I've been to a lot of Sifu LaPointe's classes out there at Garfield Teen Life Center. And the Garfield Teen Life Center is located in what we know in Seattle as the Central District. And that would be kind of like saying, what would that be like in L.A., Bob? Would that be like East L.A. or whatever, you know, the quote-unquote?
It'd be like the city of Compton.
Yeah, like Compton. It's kind of like Compton.
It'll be Compton, Compton.
Yeah, it's kind of like Compton, and there's it's right in the middle of like a six-block radius where it is like Compton. and you know, it's the first community center that I've ever been to that ever had a an on-duty police officer stationed at the community center. But you know, the thing is
two
that
police officers.
Oh, that's right, two. But the thing is that Sifu LaPointe, you reach so many kids, and the kids that do stay, you do have a very good base there of kids that, you know, follow the right path, that you show the right path on, and that they can apply themselves and be successful citizens instead of, you know, following the path of gangs and firearms and drugs and stuff like that. And with that in mind, you've got many success stories. Can you tell us about one of the kids that you might have saved off the streets?
I have a lot. Some do not achieve the level of black, but they're functioning Americans, meaning they've gone away, they've gotten sports scholarships, they've gone away to college, and they come back with their degrees, and some put right back into the center. But I have a but I have a funny story for Cecil Bob. Cecil Rusty, you remember I had asked you to come help down years ago with the Mother's Day demo, and while we were inside getting the demo, someone broke in your car and stole all your equipment.
Right.
That would be Bob with his life.
But I was thinking, my God.
I know. I remember that. I remember that. All I remember is like after the demonstration, we were some of us were helping you get snacks and food ready for the little reception afterwards, and I sent out one of the other black belts to put stuff in the car, and then it was seeing Lori comes running in and goes, Rusty, you better come outside, your car's all broke. And I was like, what? And I come outside and there's like this, you know, huge boulder inside my car, and I'm looking around and I'm like, oh my God. And like pretty soon, like all your people and all my people are outside. There's like 30 of us in the parking lot. And then everyone, without being told, just spread out and started looking for stuff. And they looked for stuff, all right. They found a chain whip. They found a pair of nunchucks. Granted, they found my drawers. They found my drawers, too. I don't know what. They found everything.
Nice.
And it was all strewn all over like a baseball field and stuff like that. But they managed to grab everything, and I don't think my wallet was in there. But they didn't take a dang thing. I think they were just like rooting through it, looking for money, for drugs, or I don't know what they were looking for. But apparently, you know, they didn't want to steal a bunch of martial arts stuff because what are they going to do with it?
It's tools and it's work. They're not going to work. After that happened, Zifu Bob, I said, oh, my God, this woman will never be back. But that did not deter her. Every time I needed assistance with a demo. And also, during the month of, I think it's July or August, the Seattle Police Department puts on the big festival or parade there on the baseball grounds. It's called the Central Area Festival. See, so we still do that.
Oh, cool. Sign me up.
And so there are some good things to come out of that. But another success story I'd like to talk about is seeing Vincent Gist.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I was able to bring him from white belt, well, actually recently promoted by Sifu Rossi to second degree. And he's a great father. He's a great kid. But it took some time because often, as I explained to Sifu Rusty, you have to fix the person first before you can continue the journey. But we all had a hand in helping this young man grow. He's 24, a guru, Sifu Rusty, and myself. So after I promoted him to black, I thought that he would leave, but the guy wouldn't go home. And I go, okay, all right. And so my children said, Mom, I think he thinks he's your son. I go, what? and so I said, okay, keep coming. I keep working you. And matter of fact, we worked a little bit last night, Sifu, on some of the stuff you had shown us last Thursday, you know, the Huva and the Snake.
Oh, uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And
awesome.
The Stick Lung Form.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Awesome.
We practiced that till like 10 o'clock last night.
Oh, awesome. Well, you guys are going to get it down quickly. That's awesome. And, yeah, kudos to Vincent. You know, I mean, when I met Vincent, he was just a little kid. And, Yeah, he was just a little kid. And I wasn't there enough to know, you know, what might have been going on in his life or whatever. I just knew that, okay, you're going to raise him and he's going to be in good hands. And like you said, he's a great father now, very responsible father.
And he's in college.
And he's in college, and he's a strong black belt. And, you know, you did something right, Sifu. That's awesome. And you touched one life,
like
and I'm sure he's going to pass that one.
As long as I can keep some of these kids, it's their environment, you know, drugs at home, you fix them, and then they go back home and they come back, you have to keep Sifu Rossi, you know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. You
some, you know, you can always trace it back to the home life. And some of those mm-hmm. kids, they know right from wrong. And then there's a lot of peer pressure. Like a young man came in last night. He doesn't study martial arts, but we have a very good relationship. He's like 16 or 17. And he had gone away to the Peace Corps to come back. He's getting ready to go to college. And I go, job well done. And then I have a little reward system in place for some of them. I go outside. I said, if you can just stop swearing, I might have something for you. I mean, this girl was outside cursing up a blue streak, and I go, Honey, please. I said, if you stop swearing for 1 minute, I'll give you $5.
Oh,
and
wow.
She did. So I went to my car and gave her the $5. Now she calls me mom. Now she calls
right
me.
On.
And I go, if you bring me your report card and there are no F's or D's, I will buy you school clothes. I said, no, I'm not going to buy you Prada, Dolce & Gabbana, anything like that. I said, but... you can buy at least one good school article of clothing to wear.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, all right, Granny. All right. I said, so they come back and they run in. So I don't want anybody to see me giving these people money. So I go behind the building. I go, but I take a witness with me, and it's usually a coworker. And
uh-huh.
I go, here is money. You go buy. I said, you better not buy drugs with my money. You come back, you better have one pair of shoes, a belt, or something. All right, Sifu Granny. All right, Miss Daisy. I have so many names.
Miss Daisy? yeah.
Like the police department asked me, why do you have them call you Granny? I said, it's psychological. I said, think about it. Not too many kids shoot their grandmothers. You know?
That's a good one. I like that.
You know,
no, I do.
So
and wow, I love it.
You know, so Sifu, when you come, you know, I have an array of names, Sifu Granny, and Miss Daisy.
That's awesome. Wow, you gave, you know, not, oh, go ahead.
They're all just title of respect, I think.
Mm-hmm, yeah. I think so. Like, you know, Filipino culture, you call someone grandma, then it's like the ultimate respect. But wow,
mm-hmm.
giving someone money, not very many martial arts instructors will do that, you know, especially with at-risk youth that, you know, I mean, they're willing to help them. And I've just never met. I'm sure there are others out there, but I've never met anyone that will say, here, you know, here's like $100, you know, go buy yourself some clothes, you know, and make an impression. And, wow, I mean, and this is why you've been nominated for the Humanitarian Award in the Masters Hall of Fame. Now, speaking of which, you were nominated for the Masters Hall of Fame by me.
And it came as a, let me tell you, a shockeroo. I had the class, I was telling the class about it, and I said, you know, I didn't know anybody know I was here. I said, I'm just some little old black woman in some obscure section of Washington doing martial arts. I had no idea. I had no idea. And it was just so mind-blowing. And all praises to God, I am so grateful.
Oh,
and my family, family is certainly grateful for me also.
Awesome. Well, we do. The Masters Hall of Fame is based on recognizing excellence in the martial arts, whether it's a 3,000 foot square foot dojo or backyard dojo or community centers. We look for people that are really making a difference in the community and really contributing to the proliferation of martial arts. So, with that said, Bob, can you add any more about the Masters Hall of Fame and why she deserves to be in the Masters Hall of Fame?
No, you pretty much covered it. My God.
Yeah.
Just, you must get such an overwhelming feeling, Sifu, when you touch youngsters like this.
I do, but I would see my mom do stuff like that growing up as a child. Someone's house would burn down. And we were poor. I'm the oldest of seven. And she would take food. And I go, man, we hardly have enough for the table. And there go mom carting off stuff. But it made sense as I grew older. You know, you give, you receive. And I don't know, I guess that kind of like stuck to me. Like oftentimes they want to go to tournaments, and of course they don't have the entry fee, so I go, let me dig deep, God will provide. But the thing was with Vincent, I had to show him that if you could win at this, you can win at other things in life, and it opened his eyes. Vincent, kid, single parent, and it was hard. And I just took him to a tournament, threw him out there, and I said, just remember, just do what you've been trained to do. And just recently, he placed second and third men's black belt division. So I said, see, if you win at this, Vincent, you can win in life.
Mm-hmm. And and he is.
Sifu, can I say something?
Sure.
Can you hear me?
Go ahead. Yeah.
Anyways, I wanted to say, first of all, congratulations, Sifu, there. And you're not a small black woman in Atlanta somewhere. People do notice things like that, and it does make the impact. God knows I've been in the martial arts for 45 years, and sometimes once in a while you find out from somebody that this happened because they studied with you or this happened because they've been in council of your classes, and there is no bigger reward than that. You're absolutely right. Giving is always first on mind for real true martial artists. I tell people when they come and study at my house that I'm like Mr. Miyagi, don't pay me, just show willingness to come here and train. God knows Bob and me be training in the park, kids, right, Bob?
Right.
Working with them and stuff like that. And I have a 7,000 square foot dojo that I work in, so I mean it doesn't matter. But I just want to say hi to you and say that first of all, David Carradine was a friend of mine. I made 3 movies with him. And
oh,
the series
really?
Of Kung Fu. And the series of Kung Fu, he's actually studied with a gentleman called David Chow. God bless him.
Uh-huh.
He's dead too. So now they're doing, Pak Wow and Wing Chun in heaven, I guess.
Yeah. He studied.
Oh, it's a small world.
Yes,
it is. And I think
world.
David studied Chen style too.
David Carradine actually did study and came up with a couple of DVDs of Kung Fu that he studied and stuff like that. David Chow taught him something called Chin Na, which is a style, Chinese style of pressure points and stuff like that, and kind of like the Korean style of Hapkido. Anyways, so I work with
him.
Well,
I'm glad I tuned in. I didn't know that.
And, of course, I also know Sipo Shirley that is teaching you Doce Pare. I've been with Master Kakoi Kiniente and had the honor to host him about 10 times in my school in the last 19 years. So we all have something in common, Sensei.
Yes.
And I wanted to say Have a great day. I have to get off of line because I'm going to an MMA fight, actually, to see one of my boys fighting. But God bless you, and enjoy your ceremony, and hopefully if I'm there, I get to meet you in person.
I'm looking forward to it.
All right, Bob, thank
Thanks.
You guys for having me online, and hopefully we'll talk soon.
Yes, thank,
thank
you. Good
you.
Luck to your
take
fighters
care,
tonight.
All right, thank you.
Thanks for calling. Awesome. And that was Shihan
Deco,
wrestler.
And I can't really, out of hearing Sifu Daisy talk, I could not think of a bit of a more deserving award than humanitarian.
Oh, thank
yeah.
you so much.
That is
yeah.
amazing.
Amazing.
So who actually inducted you, Sifu?
Mr. De Jesus. Sifu Rusty.
Very cool. You know, this is her first year as an ambassador to the Hall of Fame. And she's doing quite well, embarrassing us all.
You know, oh, man, like I said, the whole thing is just mind-blowing. I hope by the time I get to California, my feet be on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It'll be fun.
Rustic.
Yes.
Sihan, the nice gentleman that just left the air, would you please tell me his name again?
Sure. It's Jacob. It's J-A-C-O-V. And last name
okay.
Bressler. Last name Bressler, B-R-E-S-S-L-E-R.
Okay. And his title, you said Sihan?
Sihan, yeah.
All right. And he sounds like a wonderful man.
He is. He is.
And I hope I do get a chance to meet him. Well, you know, I love anyone that work with children. Children are my life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you've brought up many and a lot of success stories out there. A lot of them. Well, Sifu Daisy, it looks like we're going to have to take a short break and bring on the next guest. However, you
All
are
right.
very welcome to stay on the line. And listen in. We will be having Professor Mike Sandoz on in our third segment. And, you know, if you'd like to call back or if you want to listen to the show on your computer or stay on the line, that's up to you. I'll just go ahead and keep your mic open in that sense. So right on. Well, let's go ahead and should we take a PSA break, Bob, or just go right into our next guest?
That is up to you, since you've got the control.
Well, let's go ahead and go into our next guest, and we'll take a soft break after the second segment. So our next guest is going to be Sifu John Graham, and he is from, I don't know if I'm going to say this right, No Chor Kung Fu. I think I'm saying it wrong. I'm probably not getting the pronunciation right. So let's go ahead and give him a live call. This is something we've been doing lately, doing live calls instead of already having them on the line and holding. So let's go ahead and give Sifu John Graham a call here. And we're dialing. Dun, 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 dun. All right. And it's ringing.
Hello?
Hi, Sifu Graham. This is Restita from the Dynamic Dojo Talk Radio Show. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. How about you guys out in sunny California?
Pretty good. Well, Bob's in sunny California. I'm in gray Seattle.
Oh, Seattle. Okay.
So I guess we can talk to Bob about sunny California. But we have you live on the air right now, and me and Bob just want to thank you very much for joining us on the Sunday brunch show. I know that during the day on Sundays is kind of hard to make time. So thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule.
It's my pleasure to talk with you guys, and I appreciate y'all.
Awesome, thank you. Well, let's go ahead and get the interview rolling. What Sifu, Bob, and I usually like to do for our guests is to just get a background on our guests' start in the martial arts. So can you tell our listeners a little bit about what got you attracted to martial arts and your background?
Oh, absolutely. I joined the Marine Corps in 1970, and I was in Rota, Spain, and was a boxer for the Marine Corps. And I walked in a karate class at the USO and fell deeply, passionately in love. I didn't know what I was looking at, but I just knew it was for me, and it was my life, going to be my life's work. And from there, I've been studying ever since, around 42 years now. I've been very fortunate to be stationed in countries that had a lot of the grand masters in it. After Spain, I went to Charleston, South Carolina, and trained in Shaolin Soo Kempo, achieved a brown belt in that. And then I went to London, England, where they had a lot of the chief instructors, Tatsu Suzuki for Wadu Ru, Anoida for Shotokan, Steve Morris, who I trained with, also of the Goju fame, the hard man of karate. I got a black belt under Steve Morris and was training also in an art called Wushu Chen. I saw an advertisement for a Wushu Chen master coming to London. He was never taught outside of full-blooded Chinese. And we were the first group non-Chinese to train with a guy by the name of Kim Thong, who was from Malaysia, who obviously was Chinese. And I've been with that ever since. That was 1973. Since then, I've retired from the police department. I did 21 years on the police department. I retired as a lieutenant, and I was a self-defense instructor where I taught FBI, Coast Guard, sheriff's department, cities, and kind of did the whole thing on law enforcement. Really enjoyed law enforcement, but I decided to retire and run my school full-time about 14 years ago. So I'm 60 years old in a couple weeks.
Oh, happy birthday.
You. I'm the first Caucasian to be elected president of an international Chinese organization based in China. Usually they won't allow that, but I've been going to China for 23 years. And once they promoted me to president, then it's one of the not gifts, but one of the things that they do for the president is, because I had a ninth dan under them, was promoting 10th dan, and they didn't really want to do that, me being not Chinese, but a few of the countries together, Singapore, Malaysia, the Philippines, and said, you know, hey, John was our president on our 20th anniversary. So last year, 2 years ago, I got my 10th degree black belt from the Chinese government and the International Wushu Chen Federation.
Wow, very cool. That's big kudos right there. In fact, here's some applause because it is well deserved. Because it's very rare for the Chinese government to. And this is for the listeners out there. It's very rare for the Chinese government to give a 10th dan to young Caucasians. Yeah, very rare, very rare,
yeah,
and that's quite an achievement.
Trying to find anybody else, and I hope there are other people, but I believe I'm the first guy. Kind of weird. I'm from Mobile, Alabama, to be the first Caucasian to get a 10th dan. I hope there's some others. I really do, but I've been looking for them, you know. And, you know, belt ranks and ranks were non-existent in Chinese martial arts for so many years. They started doing that about 9 years ago. We started at sashes, and they started looking at different ways to grade the students, and because of the structure in China, they kind of like their art to be spontaneous and not structured because of the structure in their lives. So for us to bring that to them, the international community, to bring it to the Wushu Chen organization, there was a little, some of the old guys, you know, they were like, no, and then a few of them passed away, and some of the younger guys got involved, and they started seeing that for the growth of the Wushu Chen organization, they had to establish some kind of structure to show a person's personal growth and their acknowledged accomplishments. So that's how it all came about. in our organization about 6 years ago. So I was the second batch to be promoted to 10th Dan. The other ones were the guys that were deceased, the first batch Dan's, and then they had another promotion of the old guys like me that's been in, you know, martial arts over 40 years, and this particular art, 37 years.
Wow. Yeah, the yeah, you're right. It was about 9-10 years ago, because I do contemporary wushu as well, the, you know, the modern wushu. And all of a sudden, my teacher said, okay, you know, you're going to have to go up for Dwen. And I'm like, Dwen? She's like, yeah, I'm going to see about getting you up for, like, our Dwen. I'm like, second Dwen? When did that happen? Right?
You know,
what?
No, fix it,
because, you know, back Nick, in the day, you were either good or you weren't. There were no belt ranks.
Nope, that was it. You either could hang in there or you couldn't hang in there.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. So, yeah, and I haven't, at least in contemporary modern wushu, I haven't heard of any 10th Dan Caucasians. I mean, there's, I know a few Caucasians that have reached the 6th Dan, 7th Dan, 8th Dan, but not even 9th or 10th in any art in China. And so you're the first that I've heard of, and it's an honor. Because it's rare, you know, for the Chinese government to award that. That's incredible. It's an incredible achievement. Very,
you know, I tell people, well, it only took going to China two times a year for 23 years to, you know, to do this. So it wasn't really talent. It was simple persistence and whacking away at that, you know, at that structure until I beat on that door long enough where they said, okay, you're not going anywhere, and you're okay, so we're going to do it. It was one of those things. I am not a talented martial artist whatsoever, but what I am is dogged, determined to get what I think, you know, that needs to be done, and that's kind of my deal. I am not a gifted, you know, martial artist whatsoever.
Wow. That's exactly it. Got to have the stick-to-it attitude. So we've also got Sifu Daisy LaPointe with us that's still listening. Sifu Daisy, do you have any questions for Sifu Graham?
Yes, I do. Sifu said he's not gifted. I choose to differ. Yes, you do have a wonderful gift, and that's giving back. I find that a very admirable. I do. So Sifu, yes, you are gifted.
Well,
awesome.
Thank you much. It's been my pleasure to train with two legends in the martial arts. I have a 7th Dan under Bill Superfoot Wallace, and a 7th under Joe Lewis. And I'm on the board of directors of Joe Lewis. And when Joe first met me, he goes, "Well, what art do you do?" I said, "Shaolin Law, Wushu Chin, you know, Gocho, if you pick okay." "I don't like none of that kung fu stuff. It don't work." Well, he came to my school and he saw my students and he goes, "Oh, this is pretty interesting. This looks like we could really do something with this." So with 22 years with Joe Lewis and Bill Wallace, and we, you know, we lost Joe last year, brain cancer. And it was a sad day in the martial arts when you lose a guy of his caliber. Tell you, he was an amazing man, a dear friend, and a mentor to me for a lot of years. And there's a big hole in the martial arts when we lost Joe Lewis.
Agreed. When I first heard the news, I was like, what? Are we talking about the same Joe Lewis? So I had to go on the internet and searched around for information. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it's true. It was a sad day. And there is going to be a big hole in martial arts with his passing, but he also put in a big era of martial arts in martial arts history, I should say. He was part of a great era in martial arts. So yeah, Sifu Bob, do you have any questions?
Sifu, who, and you know, you're one of our newest inductees in the Masters Hall of Fame. Who inducted you?
A dear friend of mine who I met about 1979 or 80. He was in the Air Force. His name is Robert, Grandmaster Robert Parham.
I know Grandmaster Parham very well. We don't get to hang out as much. He's in Northern California. I'm in Southern, but we see each other at least the one time a year at the Masters, and he's a good friend, very nice guy, very talented artist.
Mm-hmm. What he did to the Gulf Coast was he was in the Air Force on the Air Force base, right? And he started competing, and he just spanked everybody. It was and he had a nickname for him. He was called Too Sweet. Because you put it on you and it looked too sweet when he whipped your butt.
That's true.
Too Sweet. Robert Parham was his ring name. And he fought full contact and knocked him out. He fought point, knocked him out. And I'll tell you what, my students didn't want no part of getting in the ring with him. We couldn't hardly find people to spar with him, really. He was that good and that influential in creating a structure back when, you know, full contact was just coming out and way down in the South.
You know, Sifu, we had him on our show in November, December, and we asked him about competitors coming up, and he said the only one he ever had problems with was Grandmaster Eric O'Neill, which I'm sure you know.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And he said that Grandmaster O'Neill used to spank him pretty well. Every time he thought he had one up on him, he didn't.
Yeah.
I love that.
They're both really, really good. But Robert and I've done about 14 different movies, and they shoot these movies down in Mobile. It's not a huge deal. But one of my black belts got kind of famous, though. Y'all might know him, Channing Tatum.
Yeah,
he's one of my black belts. And that's another story. But Robert, I got him a part in a movie, and he got the bug. And now I know he's a full-time actor out in L.A.
Oh, wow.
He's doing very well out here, yep.
Yeah, I know. And he did good in that. He did really good in the fight scenes and took directions well from the fight choreographer. And, man, you could just see it on his face that he kind of found a home, you know. It was really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
That's how far back we go. Quite a few years. I hadn't seen him in a few years, you know, because he's out there and I'm traveling around doing what I do in the Far East. I go there, the Philippines, a couple times a year, and I'll go also China and places like that, giving speeches and demos and things. But, you know, I'm looking forward to spending some time with him out in California.
Awesome. Now, what was your reaction to you hearing that Grandmaster Parham nominated you for the Masters Hall of Fame?
You know, I was very touched that he would remember an old friend and was following my career enough to know that I've kind of been involved in it for that many years and things like that. So Facebook, you know, really connects. What he did, how we got connected back again was he's friends with Superfoot, Bill.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a post from him. So mm-hmm. I friended him, he friended me, and then we started communicating. And he was like, wow, you know, you've kind of been kind of involved, you know, da, da, da. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not going to blow my horn and this and the other. So he goes, you know, I'd like to, you know, induct you. And I thought that was just very kind of him because I know he's a big part of that organization. And I'm very, mm-hmm. very flattered, thankful that he would do it. And I'm looking forward to the event, really am.
Awesome.
I'm going to be I had back surgery in Philadelphia, and I'm going for a full hip replacement in the morning. So,
whoa.
It's one of those things. I think it was more or less the gun belt and the Marine Corps that more than the martial arts. But a lot of us that do the Superfoot system kind of our left leg kind of goes out. And so I got to get my left hip replaced in the morning. But I will be okay to get out there to California. I'll be just fine.
Oh, good, because we're looking forward to meeting you for sure.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Absolutely.
I won't be demoing.
Neither will we.
If y'all don't mind, just a smile for demonstration.
Awesome. Now, before I forget, Sifu, because I completely forgot to ask Sifu Daisy about this, and I'm going to ask you this a little bit later, Sifu Daisy. If any of our listeners are ever in the Mobile, Alabama area, and they want to visit your school, how can they get in contact with your school?
Well, you can call 251-633-7837. And that's the main number. And I love people to come in and visit. We've had George Alexander. You might know that is. You know him? Yeah.
Well, I don't
George
know him personally, but I know who he is.
Yeah. See, George, I met him out, and Bill and I went to the first Black Belt Hall of Fame. Remember they had the big banquet out there?
Oh, yeah.
Couple of years, yeah. Well, Bill asked me to, you know, I say, come on, John, share a room with me. He down the room, if I, you know, fly out there. I said, sure. Bill, a friend of mine, you know, and a mentor, obviously. And so I went up there with him, and George Alexander had a booth. Well, I went up to him and said, hey, you know, you're pretty good, and this, that, and the other. He did a demo, and I said, I go to China a lot, and he thought I wasn't a fake or an idiot or something. Make a long story short. I asked him to go to China with me, so he said, yeah. And so he found the home of Kenkiko, who was the one who did the white crane back, they brought it to Okinawa. A friend of mine's daddy's the grandmaster of the white crane in a small village, White Crane Village. So George Alexander and I did a trip, and he did a six articles for Black Belt Magazine on the search of White Crane Master for Black Belt on that trip that him and I went on.
Wow.
That was kind of cool. And he even says in the article, I thought this guy was full of, you know, I ain't gonna say it, but, you know, full of this, that, and the other. And, you know, because a lot of people say they go to China and they do all these things. Well, 2 months later, he was sitting in this guy's in his great-grandson's living room going, oh, my God. Yeah, I think the article is still posted on the website, Black Belt Magazine website. But that was really funny. Ask George about it. He'll tell you.
Okay, awesome.
Very cool.
Very cool. Now, Sifu Graham, let's see, I have the phone number. What was the name of your studio again? I forgot.
It's Graham's Elite Martial Arts.
Okay, got it. Wrote that down. So we'll go ahead and post all of the contact information for everybody's schools and programs and stuff like that after the show on our Dynamic Dojo Facebook page. And you might be getting a friend request from me.
Wonderful. I'd love to have it.
Awesome. Let's see. Sifu Bob, do you have any other questions?
No. You know, I'm enjoying this man so much. His travels and experience. The fact is, he's probably one of, if not the only, Caucasian recognized by the Chinese government to be a tenth dan. What category were you nominated into the Hall of Fame under?
It was exceptional martial arts achievements.
Awesome.
Oh, that's a new one. I'm not familiar with that one.
I don't know, that's what Robert, they put me in, exceptional martial arts achievement.
Very cool, very deserving as well.
Well,
yes.
Thank you all very much. I guess it's right place at the right time kind of stuff. That's 80% of it, really.
Right.
You know, it's kind of like you had to do, you know, one of those things that, you know, the art's growing and maybe they thought they need one for politics. I don't know. Again, you know, it's one of those things that I'm very proud of, but I did it for my students so they could,
right,
you know, have good clean lineage and understand how important it is to stay with something long enough to achieve, you know, recognition in it and not to quit and float around so much with life and things. It's really sweet when you can dedicate your life to something and be fulfilled and actually actualize your own being by staying in contact with something for that many years, you know. That's the thing I'm trying to teach them.
Awesome. And I just found your record of nomination for this year. It's the Golden Lifetime Achievement Award. that's what Grandmaster Parham had nominated you for, which is an outstanding achievement. Golden Lifetime Achievement Award. That's
now,
amazing.
People, since you're on the website, tell our listeners what are the requirements to be nominated for that category.
I actually looked up the chart that our CEO Hanshi Dan Hecht sent us.
Oh, okay.
But you have to have 40 or more years of active participation in the martial arts, and of course to show the proliferation of your art and promoting it and stuff like that. You have to have over 40 years of martial arts in order to be eligible for the Golden Lifetime Achievement Award, that's amazing. That's amazing. It's I've only been in it for like 30 something years. I forget how long, and to have over 40, I mean that's wow. It's quite an achievement. Anyone that's been doing martial arts for that long is just amazing. Just amazing. So yeah, this is very well deserved.
Thank you very much. I just never considered stopping. it's not something that re-entered my mind. You know, I'm like, I'm in this for the long haul. I mean, when I walked into that USO club and fell passionately in love with what was going on, it's been a love affair ever since. And right now, my lover's put me on my back for a while, but that's okay. I'm going to get fixed. I'm going to be back at it.
There we go.
You know the old saying, Sifu, a black belt to white belt who never quit.
Amen, mm-hmm. Amen. You're so right.
That's right. That's right. Awesome. Well, we look forward to meeting you at the event on June 22nd. It looks like this show is turning into like a Masters Hall of Fame party. This is kind of cool to be a Sifu Daisy still on the line. Sifu Graham, if you'd like to stay on the line to listen, probably ask questions of our next guest, you are more than welcome to. Would that be something you'd be interested in?
I'd love to do it for a few minutes. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Awesome. Yeah, we'll go ahead and do that. And thank you so much for joining us on the Dynamic Dojo Brunch Show. It was a pleasure to have you, and we look forward to meeting you. So, Sifu Bob, let's go ahead and take a short break for PSA, we'll go ahead and call our next guest. Our next guest is going to be Professor Mike Sandoz of the One Hop Kendo branch of Kajikembo. So we'll go ahead and take a break, and we'll be right back after this.
This is Nnamdi Asamoah. I play football for the Philadelphia Eagles, but what I do off the field with United Way might be more important. I'm a volunteer tutor and mentor. Why? Because over a million kids a year drop out of school, and that's not okay. It takes 12 years to create a graduate, but it takes about the same time to create a dropout. And the difference between a child becoming one or the other could be me, or it could be you. Studies show that if we get to these kids earlier, their chances are better, and kids who read well by third grade are more likely to graduate. So join me in United Way. Suit up and take the pledge. Become a volunteer reader, tutor, or mentor. Because when a child succeeds, we all succeed. Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Live United. Take the pledge at unitedway.org. Brought to you by United Way, the Ad Council, and the National Football League.
This is Annie Lennox of Eurythmics. Or RAD. Please don't drink and drive, and don't drive if someone else has been drinking. Thank you.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Today in school, I learned a lot. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes me. In English, I learned that I'm disgusting. And in physics, I learned that I'm a loser.
Today in school, I learned that I'm ugly and useless. And in gym, I learned that I'm pathetic and a joke. In history, I learned that I'm trash.
Today in school, I learned that I have no friends. In English, I learned that I make people sick. And at lunch, I learned that I sit on my own because I smell. In chemistry, I learned that no one
likes me. In biology, I learned that I'm fat and stupid. And in math, I learned that I'm trash.
The only thing I didn't learn in school today.
The only thing I didn't learn today.
The only thing I didn't learn is why no one ever helps.
Kids witness bullying every day. They want to help, but they don't know how. Teach them how to stop bullying and be more than a bystander at stopbullying.gov. A message from the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Eddie Morales from Kickin' It Old School on KCAA 1050 AM. I want to take this opportunity to invite you to the martial arts event of the year, the Masters Hall of Fame, on Saturday, June 22nd, 2013, at the Orange County Hilton, located in Costa Mesa, California. This year's theme is Women in the Martial Arts. Our guest speaker will be Lisa the Black Widow King. We will be honoring many legends in the martial arts. Join Dan and I from Kickin' It Old School at the Masters Hall of Fame, Saturday, June 22nd, 2013. Get your tickets now at mastershalloffame.org.
And now, on with the show.
All right, and we are back. This is the Dynamic Dojo Talk Radio Show with Rashida and Robert. Our phone number here is 347-677-0699. We've got a great show going on. We just got done talking to Sifu Lazy, Daisy LaPointe. Sifu Daisy, I almost called you Lazy.
Nice.
Sifu Daisy LaPointe in our first segment. And we were also just talking with Sifu John Graham in our second segment. And our upcoming guest is going to be Professor Mike Sandoz of the One Hop Kendo branch of Kajikembo. So, Sifu Bob, what do you think? Let's go ahead and give him a live call.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Okay. I got to make sure I'm dialing the right number here. Don't want to call the last guest quite yet. Got to make sure I type that right. Okay, and we're dialing.
Sandoz.
Hi, Professor Sandoz. This is Rashida from the Dynamic Dojo Talk Radio Show. How are you?
I'm doing good, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm doing really cool. Thanks for joining us on the show for a short segment. We're really honored to have you on.
Absolutely, thank you.
Awesome. We've got Sifu Daisy LaPointe, also a One Hop Kendo with us, and we've also got Sifu John Graham of I forgot what style you did, Sifu John Graham. I want
Wushu Qian.
Wushu Qian. That's okay. Thank you. Wushu Qian. Wung Fu. So, and they're joining us today. We're having a Dynamic Dojo Masters Hall of Fame party going on here.
Oh, great.
So thank you. Thank you again for joining us. So what me and Sifu Bob like to do with our guests is to get a sort of a lowdown on our guest's experience in the martial arts. So would you be so kind as to tell our listeners how you got started in the martial arts and what attracted you to the martial arts?
Oh, my golly. For myself, personally, I got the opportunity to start training at about 6 years old, 7 years old. And in my neighborhood, it was one that you learn to protect yourself pretty good, right away. And so I've been in the art myself, for over 58 years.
Wow.
So, again, I looked at it because I wanted to learn to protect myself as in the neighborhood. But the bigger, as you started in, started to learn that there were the different systems, whether it be a hard system of, the Taekwondo, Tangsudo, Japanese systems of the JK, these kind of systems. And naturally, the hard was attractive, so it was very powerful and wanted to see. And as I finally got my black belt in three of those hard systems, I then came into the soft system and found out about how old the Chinese system was and where it came from and the histories. And so I got really involved inside of the Kung Fu systems and the soft systems. And, you know, here it brought me all the way, you know, through the Kaju Kembo systems, through the Tonpai, the Chuan Fa, and then into the Wan Hapkin Do, and where I currently am at.
Awesome. Now, for our listeners out there that are not familiar with Kaju Kembo or Wan Hapkin Do, I mean, me and Sifu Daisy know about it, but our listeners, some of our listeners don't. So could you briefly tell our listeners what Wan Hapkin Do is?
Yeah, you know, a lot of times we come back into traditional systems, and as a matter of fact, all, I don't care whose it is, we all do the same things. We our basis is based on traditional karate systems, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it's more of a hard system. When I say hard system, meaning that your hands are closed, closed fist. And when we call them stick form or stick men or mechanical forms, just because of the fact that we originally started in a kind of a 1-2-3 format. And when the Kempo came along, Kempo was one that started to give us a circular motion. And then when the Kung Fu systems were more exposed and announced, we started mimicking animals. And so, like, we fight like a lion and a tiger or a bear or a snake or a monkey or different animal structures. And what is fun is that when the Chinese martial arts got so much involved from the very beginning, they felt that it was very important for you not to just learn how to hurt or protect yourself, or but when you got hurt or when you hurt someone, that you'd be able to heal them. So in Kaju Kembo, we came in with the Tonpai section, and the Tonpai is the healing arts along with the circular motion. And so in doing so, like I say, to tell the listeners that they will understand is that when we say soft system or hard system, you're doing the same motions, you've just merely opened the hand to do it. Instead of just always combating with the hard closed fist, you open the hand and mimic animals with the positioning of the hands.
Very cool. Very cool.
Now,
awesome.
Kung Fu, or what we call the Wan Hapkin Do section, the Wan Hapkin Do section is combative Kung Fu. It's where we actually have taken the all of the elements and brought them in a little closer, started to break down for folks that are defending themselves and taking all of those motions into a continuous motion, or what we today call multitasking in most walks of life. We do two and three motions at the same time. So what we want to do is not just focus on, as you send in a punch or a block, that you actually have so many X amount of follow-up motions all in the same motion. So let's just think about, if somebody threw a fist, you want to block and punch all at the same time, that one move. So you're cutting out two moves from two to one type of thing, or and many times two or three moves in order to block him and then to retaliate and hit. But now we'll cut that out and make it one motion. The thing is in the following up of that is that you're going to coordinate and multitask as the fist or hand goes forward. You're going to use synergy, momentum, circular motions, rotations. What's happening is you're using multitasking different sources of energy to work all at the same time. So that really makes it quite different when you're doing the job. You don't waste any motions. Kind of let the guy use his energy against himself type of thing. So it makes it exciting and a whole bunch of fun, and I think that's what the martial arts has got to really bottom line be, is it's got to be your expression. It's got to be fun. You got to enjoy it, and you've got to be able to feel in a natural flow, okay?
Yeah, all those aspects is what attracted me to Wan Hapkin Do. I studied with Professor Terry Faircloth, and luckily had a chance to meet you and Sigong Al at several events, and I missed out on the last one, darn it. Wasn't able to go. And, you know, it's an incredible, incredible art, incredible, just incredible. So anyone out there listening, you know, if you haven't checked out Wan Hapkin Do or Kaju Kembo as a whole, check it out.
You know, folks should really think about it, because what happens is you get a chance to really exercise all of yourself.
Yes,
to know self. And that is, as an example, use both sides of your brain, left and right side. You know, and most of us males, we think with the left side of the brain. And mm-hmm. we need that creative side opened up, and so that you use more of your brain very naturally. And it really, for kids, as an example, when we teach them, and we're teaching them all about controlled motivation, or let's say mind over matter, it's one of those that as they do learn how to open up the left and right side of the brain working collectively, all of a sudden they just overnight become geniuses because of the fact that their right and left brain is working together. And so many folks miss that. So many folks miss the other factors of the metaphysics and the philosophical aspects of life and the art. Rotations and motions and timing and leverages and different things. It's how you're looking at it and not getting stuck to one concept.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. Very cool. Sifu Bob, do you have any questions for Professor? Sifu Bob?
Hello?
Unmute your phone, Sifu Bob.
Thank you. Professor Mike, when did you get inducted into the Masters Hall of Fame?
I was inducted in 2009.
And who inducted you?
Eric Lee. Grandmaster Eric Lee was the one who inducted myself.
Oh, that's great. What category were you inducted under?
Oh, golly, I do believe it was the Lifetime Achievement Award.
Oh, very cool. Now, for our listeners, Professor Santos was inducted in 2009, and now he's an ambassador as well as teaching a seminar this year. What are the as an ambassador, Professor, what are your duties?
Well, you know, the thing is an ambassador, I think that it's getting with folks all around the world that we are all related. We are all, if you go back through the genealogy of the martial arts, I don't care who you are or what system you are, we are related if you follow it back. And I think that when we get an opportunity to teach our students, our family, our children, the important factor is that we need to come together to recognize these folks all around the world and in harmony together, work together, because we're the ones that people look to continue developing the martial arts. For our students, our families, et cetera, to be able to come up, I think it's an obligation for the ambassadors to recognize and find other great martial artists. And let me tell you, you got people like Bruce Lee, you got people like Bill Wallace, you got people like Chuck Norris. All of these folks, Grandmaster Aldakoskis, et cetera, all of these folks are great, great technicians, and everyone knows them. But you know really who the great ones are? Is the ones that all of those guys and gals fought, and they lost in order for those people to win and get the recognition. Doesn't mean that because they lost they weren't good. It meant that they were really good. It's just they didn't win the fight or the competition. And I mm-hmm. think to bring attention to those folks, to thank those folks, to recognize those folks, to give those folks as students an opportunity to stand up very proud and say, wow, this is my instructor. This is what he has done or she has done to mm-hmm. contribute to the martial arts in whole. And I think that's our responsibility, is to keep that dream and that excitement going.
Now, when you nominate somebody, what do you look for?
The first thing that I want to do is make sure, one, is that they've got the years of tenure, when they've actually been in the art, what art they've been in, how long they've been there, what they have achieved as they've been inside of that art, meaning their ranking and whatnot, and their contributions. I think that it's very important, first off, to find out, and not it doesn't matter so much of what system they are, but as of what they've done in their expression of that system. I mean, you have people like Daisy LePong, that has just absolutely contributed to the rehabilitation of all children of all ages and have given so much to them to give foundation so that they can build and rebuild their lives. So many people have been in the art to where they not only have trained the father and mother or the father or mother, but they've also trained two or three generations of their children's children and children. So that's pretty fantastic. How many people get a chance to be an influence on people's lives like that?
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Absolutely. Now, you're teaching a seminar. I got to teach a seminar on Saturday. I don't know the time. I don't have the schedule in front of me. What kind of topics are you going to cover? We're calling it Combating Kung Fu.
Yes.
What are you going to cover in that seminar?
As an example, you know, with inside of the seminar, with the way I first opened up, because it's kind of like a dot-to-dot. You know, if you're taking a pen and going dot-to-dot-to-dot-to-dot, hooking things together to show them how to generate power, where that internal power comes from, what that combustion braking happens. When you turn around and you look at the different levels and zones, people, when we say that continuous motion and understand that it isn't always target points that we normally think of, like a face, you know, stomach, groin, we open up to all of the targets, which is front and back of the body, and we teach them that many times that there's more than one way to do something, as an example, to block or punch. The thing is you don't always have to necessarily block it as to just avoid it, to evade it. The thing is in the things that I teach, and inside of that is teaching the metaphysical, the philosophical, mind and body and spirit control, learning how to build that momentum and speed through synergy, centrifugal force, motion of motions, rotations, your angles, your leverages. What happens is working from that center line isn't always a straight line. It could be a straight line from a different direction. So, you know, there's so many areas that I come inside of a combative kung fu and show people to say, don't go in doing and wasting your energy on so much when it can be done in one or two motions.
Mm-hmm.
So I teach a combative kung fu, which is the same that Grandmaster Aldakoskus teaches, which is obviously who I learned it from. But the opportunity to include the mind, body, and spirit and show them how to work those together is just absolutely phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. I look forward to it. You know, Sifu Rusty is teaching a seminar. I'm teaching a seminar. We're going to have a Silky Greg Wooldridge teach the legality of force, which is something we're missing. What happens when if you get in a fight? Your optimal thing at that point is to stay out of jail. because Silky Greg is good with, because he's an ex-police officer, as our last guest was, Sifu John Graham, is what you saw, how you felt, based on how you felt, what your reaction was. And he really breaks it down to what do the police want to hear? You know, we're also having Lua, the Hawaiian Art of Bone Breaking, taught by David Dye. And to our listeners, these are free seminars. They're included in the price of your banquet ticket. And we have great instructors like Professor Sandoz stepping up and giving freely of their time and the travel and the expense. We're glad to have you, and I look forward to meeting you next month.
Oh, wonderful, and I do too. I tell you what, you know, what a wonderful opportunity to get this many masters and grandmasters and professors and teachers together that will just openly exchange, you know.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Nobody feeling and thinking, oh, mine is a secret. There is no secrets. We all do the same basic things, but we have a different approach and presentation. And let me tell you what, when we get a chance to share knowledge and experience and that, oh, my golly, we go home and back to our students and our group and be able to show them things and add things and build things that is just absolutely once in a lifetime.
Very true. I am so excited about next month. The seminar the seminar lineup is just amazing. And again, listeners, if you're going to the Masters Hall of Fame, you know, check out the seminars. If you bought a banquet ticket, it's included. You cannot miss these wonderful, wonderful lineup. Oh my goodness, really, really cool. And speaking of Sifu Daisy, do you have any questions for Professor?
Not a question, but I have a shout out. Professor, thank you very, very much for processing not only my paperwork, but the paperwork of my students. Oh, you made the three of us in that respect, so very happy, and I cannot wait to meet you. I think you are a great, terrific man, person.
Well, thank you. You know, it's a mirror, Daisy. It's a mirror. It's when I seen and heard and read all about you guys and followed your history, I turned and looked and said, oh, my gosh, we need to support and help. And so many times there's so many things going on in life, we never get a chance to do that. Our distances, etc. But it's you guys that shine. It's you guys that I'm looking at and saying, wow, other people need to know about you, and that's important. So you have all my support.
Thank you. That means a lot to me. And what you did with one of the young men, recently promoted Sifu, Mike X. Grieber, his goal is to retire to Mexico, as I told Master De Jesus, open up a school and help the impoverished children there. And I said, you know, Mike, this is how we grow. You give back.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. He's a perfect example. He's dedicated his entire life to martial arts, and I think we need to step up and recognize that.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Now,
Professor,
go ahead. Sorry.
I just can't wait to meet Professor Sandoz.
We'll have some fun.
It's gonna be a fun weekend. It's so gonna be a fun weekend. Friday is gonna be seminars and a social that Friday evening, and then the next day, Saturday, will be more seminars and the actual awards banquet. It's gonna be such a fun filled weekend. I'm just so excited. I'm jumping up and down in my chair. It's just like, this is going to be so cool.
Thank you so much for the opportunity to showcase the martial arts.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Now, Sifu, this is kind of a question for Sifu Daisy and Professor Sandoz. So Sifu Daisy, Vincent and Mike and your other students that had processed paperwork with Professor Sandoz, they're now members of the Koa Kajikembo organization, correct? Sifu Daisy, did I get that right? Koa?
Well, yeah, can I answer that?
Yes, please.
Address it?
Yes.
You know,
please.
What happens is that Juan Hopkins Do has been... And Sifu Daisy and them have been part of and teaching Juan Hopkins Do for years. They're also, which naturally our mother art is the Kajukenbo. Okay, that's where we came from.
Mm-hmm.
As we have kind of, let's talk about it as the tip of the spear. As we've developed and grown, we had developed the Juan Hopkins Do to be that tip of the spear. But the Kajukenbo Ohana Association, the KOA, KOA. KOA, mm-hmm. Yes, everyone's in a member of, because mm-hmm. it's a non-political group that mm-hmm. all we profess and do is we want to preserve and protect the Grand Masters and all of their knowledge so that when they pass, as they do, that somebody else doesn't tear their organization apart and, you know, cherry pick them and tear them apart. We try to mm-hmm. preserve their knowledge, help their people stabilize and promote to continue on. And we share information. So what we're doing at the Masters Hall of Fame is absolutely such a compliment to KOA, because it's exactly mm-hmm. what we do in KOA, and that is share knowledge and experience, you know, with no prejudice.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you for telling our listeners that. And for anyone interested in checking out what KOA is all about, you can just go to koakajukenbo.com It's a really, really cool website. Has great information. Awesome. Awesome. And let's see. I had another question, and I'm trying to find my notes. I've got like 50 tabs open on my laptop. We know how that goes. Well, let's see here.
Oh, yeah.
50 tabs. Well, I guess not. So, Sifu Bob, do you have any other questions?
Yeah. Sifu Daisy, are you bringing anybody down with you this year?
Yes, I am. Well, unfortunately, my husband is ill. He will not accompany me. But I'm bringing my first cousin with me.
Oh, cool.
Wonderful. Oh, very
well,
cool.
Yeah, because he's not involved, but he knows kind of like what I do. But I think this will open his eyes, you know, to see what is going on. Because it's very difficult sometimes to explain what you do to a person that's not involved. Yes,
absolutely. And it's so nice to share the limelight with family.
Yes, yes. And we've been close, you know, like I said, my first cousin. We've been close. I'm quite a few years older than he is, but ever since I used to care for him as an infant.
Oh, right on.
And so now he's caring for me.
Very cool. Same question, Professor Sandoz. Is Trisha coming with you this year?
Yes, I'm bringing. Actually, I'm bringing quite a few people, but yes, my wife will be there as well. My brother is coming as well. He's a principal at one of the junior high schools in Colorado. We've got quite a few of our grandmasters coming. And quite a few professors coming. We've got a whole German entourage of all of our, we have a naturally Juan Hopkins Doe of Germany, and all of the heads of that are coming. And for anyone, gosh, anyone, just to meet these people, to shake the hand, laugh, giggle, ask them a question, watch them perform, have them show you. They're all really fun people. They're just like Daisy, just like yourself, Bob. You know, we're all... easy to get along with and talk to. So what an opportunity to see all of these different martial arts people and meet them. I mean, it's not just who we bring, but it's also who would like to come and show up and see these people and meet these folks.
Indeed. Indeed. It'll be great to see the group from Germany. Again, I think the last time I saw them was like back in 2001. It was quite a while ago.
Yeah, you know, they do the world's, they're the number one demonstrators or show team in the world. They've taken that title 3 years in a row. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, they're talk about watching somebody so gracefully doing forms, doing weapons, all styles and types of the martial arts. What a fun opportunity, you know, to see that. So that will be there.
Yeah. It'll be awesome. Very awesome. Very cool. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Professor Sandoz, for joining us today and taking some time out of your busy schedule for a short interview and talking with us.
Absolutely. Anytime.
Awesome. Very cool.
Bye,
well, I'll go ahead and post a link to this show on your Facebook page.
Oh, wonderful.
Awesome.
All right, everyone. Thank you so much for your patience. I appreciate you taking the time to call.
Before you go, Professor, Sifu, why don't you ask Sifu Daisy and Professor Sandoz, you know, how if people want to get in contact with them, how they go about doing so.
Oh, right. Thanks for reminding me. Sifu Daisy, how can people contact you at the Garfield Teen Life Center if they're interested in the if they're in the Seattle area and just don't know that you're there?
If they can go to the city of Seattle,
and
just look up Garfield Community Center.
Garfield Community Center, and that's GARFIELD, as in the president. Okay, Garfield
exactly.
Community Center. Yeah, and you want to look up. Well, that too, Garfield the cat. and there's also a like a sub link under Garfield Community Center, I believe, for the Teen Life Center, and that's where Sifu Daisy teaches. Every weekend she teaches the late night program, which allows teens to come in until, wow, really late at night, keeps them off the streets, and it's really cool. And Professor Sandoz, is there a way people can contact you to get more information about One Hop Kendo or COA?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, if we go with, let's just say COA, K-O-A.
Okay.
COA, Kajukenbo,
mm-hmm.
.com. That's my email number.
Okay.
So it's K-O-A, K-A-J-U-K-E-N-B-O .com. And I get messages from people all around the world and would love to answer anyone's questions or meet with them if they're ever up here in the Mountain States or want to go to any of our functions.
Awesome. Very cool. That's koakajukenbo.com. Just go over there and you can find a contact us form. Very cool. So thank you very much, Professor Sandoz, and we'll definitely see you next month.
Wonderful. Look forward to seeing everybody. You all have a wonderful day.
You
yes,
too.
Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Awesome. That was Professor Mike Sandoz of the One Hop Kendo branch of Kajukenbo. Very cool. Awesome. So far, we've had three great guests. We've had Daisy LaPointe, who's still on the line with us. We had Sifu John Graham of Wushu Chen. Kung Fu, and Professor Mike Sandoz. And our final guest for our final segment today will be Sensei Beth Gould, who is a member of the World Taekwondo Federation and is slated to be the recipient of the Pioneer Award in this year's Masters Hall of Fame. So let's go ahead and give Sensei Gould a live call here. That was a cool interview with Professor Sandoz, wasn't it?
That was great.
Very good.
Very cool. All right. And we're dialing Sensei Beth Gould, World Taekwondo Federation. Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah, that doesn't sound good.
Well, if anything, I'll leave a message. I typed it in right. I hope I typed it in right. Nope, I typed it in right. Hello? Oh, I guess it wasn't answered. Well, we'll try here in another couple of minutes. But that was the right number. I double checked it with our chart. Yep. So we'll try that in another couple of minutes. But wow, what a great set of guests so far. This, you know, talking with you, Sifu Daisy, and Sifu Graham, and Professor Sandoz, it's just getting me all pumped up for next month. Like, this is going to be so much fun. It's going to be like a Masters Sifu Chihan Soke party. It's going to be really cool. Awesome. Wow, Bob, it sounds like there's a war going on your end of town.
No, it's not on my end. I stepped inside.
Oh, I wonder if it's Sifu Daisy. There's like planes going all over.
Oh, I'm outside in my yard, and that's an airplane.
Oh, that's right, because you live in Federal Way, where the planes go over when they do their circling to get to the airport. Oh. That's awesome. No, that's okay.
Yeah, maybe I should go inside.
No, you can be outside. I just went, wow, what is that?
I know, and her go-to response is blame Bob.
Yeah. Well, you're the sirens guy. You're the sirens guy.
I'm the siren guy, and I'm the airplane guy, but I learned how to mute my phone. If you've noticed, you keep saying, hello.
All right, listeners, our phone number here is 347-677-0699. This is the Dynamic Dojo Radio Show. It's our Sunday brunch show, and we've got about 25 minutes left in our live broadcast. If you've got Any questions at all about Masters Hall of Fame or for Sifu Daisy or anything like that, feel free to call in. We've also got our chat board underneath the Blog Talk Radio show marquee. You can just type your questions in there. Let's go ahead and try Sensei Gould again. And let me double check that I'll redial it just to make sure. If put it up automatically in the guest call-in thing, but I'm going to type it in anyway. I hope she didn't forget. It'd be great to talk to her. Let's see. I thought somebody picked up. I wonder if she's wondering who's calling. Hello? It sounded like somebody picked up, didn't it? But
Sifu, that may have been me. I plugged in my phone.
Oh, okay.
Ah.
And we're hoping to talk to Sensei Beth Gould of the World Taekwondo Federation.
And you are dialing the number?
Yeah. Yeah. I dialed the correct number. It said that it was failed or was not answered. Let's see. Yep, that's the right number, all right. I'm going to look at another chart here, see if there's like a different number. Nope, it's the same number. Huh. Well, that's weird. Okay, we'll give it another couple minutes and see what happens.
I would say she probably forgot, even though we confirmed that we were going to be calling her at 12:30.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Huh. Weird. Anyhow, 347-677-0699. That's our number. If you have any questions, feel free to call in. Well, wow. What do you guys think so far? Great bunch of guests. Great interviews and great seminars. And for our listeners that hadn't been listening the last couple of shows about the seminars that are available at the Masters Hall of Fame this year, can you tell our listeners again who are just tuning in, Sifu Bob, what the seminars would be? Do you happen to have that?
Great.
Or I can find it.
The one form I don't have open, let's see, Masters Seminar,
let's
there
see.
It is. Okay. On Friday, we have Dennis Gila at 12 until 2. He's going to teach the fighting art of eight limbs, Muay Thai. Then we move on to David Dai, which is going to be teaching from 2 to 4. He's going to be teaching the Hawaiian art of bone breaking, the art of lua. Then from 4 to 5 on Friday, we have Joe Ordaz. He's going to be teaching intro to motion picture fight choreography. Then after Sensei Joe's seminar, we're going to be having our VIP reception in the hotel lounge so we can all just get together, talk, exchange ideas, and maybe you and I do a couple of interviews, that sort of thing. And
yep.
Then Saturday, we've got a full schedule from 7:30 until 4 in the afternoon, where I started off from 7:30 to 8:30 with Kang Shuan Do push-pull contest. Then you follow me from 8:30 to 9:30 with Tai Chi Flow for any martial artist, 10 form.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Grandmaster Mark Shui, which is going to be teaching Kane, the American Kane system. And he will have, so any listeners that want to take his seminar, don't worry about bringing your own cane. He will have them with him.
Oh, God.
And after Grandmaster Shui, we have Professor Mark Sandoz teaching combative kung fu from 10:30 to 11:30. Then we have lunch from 11:30 to 12. Then from 12 to 1, we have a silky Greg Wooldridge teaching Kang Swan Do, legality of force, from 1 to to three, we have Professor Barbara White from the Kenpo System teaching you woman self-defense for 2 hours. And then from 3 to 4, we have Sensei Mike Rivera teaching Lima Lama System.
Wow, it's going to be cool. So
it's
hear that, listeners?
Then the doors open for the masters at 5.
Yes, yes. Hear that, listeners? That's going to be a kick. Can I say ass? Yes, I can. Kick ass weekend.
Why not? Sifu LaPointe already did, so that's cool.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be a kick ass weekend of seminars and Masters Hall of Fame. If you've already bought your banquet tickets, it's included, all those seminars. So bring a uniform, bring some workout gear, and it's all included. It's going to be awesome.
Haven't bought your tickets yet, you go to mastershalloffame.org, and right on the front page you can purchase your tickets or go to their web store.
Right. Just go ahead and order those up. As a reminder for nominees, if you haven't gotten your paperwork in yet, as Sifu Bob had mentioned toward the beginning of the show, Hanshi Dan Hecht has managed to get an extension to the deadline of the paperwork, correct? So we have until the end of this month.
He got an extension because he has some very nice trophies made for every recipient, and he's got to be able to order them in a timely fashion, and he's gotten an extension on that.
Very cool, very cool. Now, because Hanshi Dan is so incredibly busy taking care of that, if any of the nominees out there have any questions whatsoever about paperwork procedure, or if you know you're nominated and you have not yet received a paperwork packet, feel free to get a hold of me or Sifu Bob. You can get a hold of me at Restita, RestitaMHOF, at gmail.com, MHOF as in Frank, at gmail.com. Or Sifu Bob, is there a way people can contact you if they have questions about the nominee procedure?
Yeah, they can email me at robert.behl@mastershalloffame.org.
Very cool. Very cool. Yes, so any nominees out there, you know, if you have any questions, feel free to get a hold of us. We'll, me and Sifu Bob are taking care of that because Hanshi Dan has enough on his plate right now.
Yeah, to say the least.
He's got a lot on his plate, so me and Sifu Bob have stepped up to kind of lighten the load on him a little bit. And also on the day of the event, I'm almost... I don't know if I want to kick myself for saying this. On the day of the event, if you happen to see one of us, if you have any questions on what's going on or whatever, you know, or you just want to, you know, place your comments about the Masters Hall of Fame on a radio show, because we'll be broadcasting live from there, just find us.
That's right. Find us. If you have any complaints, make sure you see her. Because last year I must have had complaint department tattooed on my forehead.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and take that sign and tack it to my forehead and kind of lighten the load a little bit for you there, bro. Because, you know, Hanshi Dan, I know that people were going around like, you know, where's Hanshi Dan? Where's Hanshi Dan? Well, Hanshi Dan is going all over the place. If he's not, you know, setting up stuff, if he's not, you know, already dealing with, you know, ambassador meetings and ambassador procedures and issues and stuff like that, he's running around doing other stuff. So find us, Sifu Bob or me, Restita. And if you don't know what we look like, just look us up on Facebook. There are plenty of pictures of us, and you'll be able to find us. I'll be that short Filipino lady walking around with a microphone, most likely.
That's right.
So, and Sifu Bob, hopefully, I don't know if we'll be having mics or what, but we'll be walking around you see two ambassadors walking around looking like chickens with their head cut off, that's us.
That is us. I'll be at every seminar and introing the instructors and closing out the seminars. I'll be really easy to find. And
right.
With Sifu Rusty, you just don't look straight ahead. If you're looking for her, you'll have to look down a little bit.
Oh, it reminds me of, like, you know, whatever, that movie Vacation. Where's Rusty? Rusty, I'm down here, Dad. I'm here, Dad. And everyone's looking for Rusty. And he's, like, you know, short, and I'm here, Dad, down here. Where's Rusty?
I just remember the first day you and I met 2 years ago at the Masters, somebody asked you to stand up, and I said, Sifu, he asked you to stand up. Oh, wait a minute, you are.
Yeah. I said, you know what, I'm going to get to know this guy. I like this guy. This guy's got a hefty sense of humor. I like that. So, yeah, we've been, like, best buddies ever since. It's been great. Well, let's try Sifu Gould, or I just called her Sifu. Sensei Gould, or is it Sabum Nim? She does Taekwondo. Well, okay, Sabum Nim. Well, I guess we'll try Sabum Nim. Let's try dialing again. And if there's no answer, we'll just go ahead and finish out the show with us. And it's up. Hello?
I thought there was an answer as well.
Yeah. I wonder if it forwards. It sounded like it picked up for a second and is probably forwarding to another number. But all right, if you got, I could email her later and let her know that we missed her.
I do tell people when you see a New York number calling in, it's us.
Yeah.
Because we have had people ignore our phone calls before.
Yeah, because they think it's, spam or something like that. Well, I'll just email her a little bit later to let her know that we missed her, and maybe we can put her on next week or something. I'll figure that out for next week.
Well, that was the first. It was working so well, these live calls, for just a little bit. And she's probably wandering around like me going, God, I knew there was something I had to do today.
Yeah. I wish I could remember, but the phone keeps freaking ringing.
Right. From a number I don't recognize.
I know, from New York, of all places. Brooklyn, of all places. Why is someone calling me from Brooklyn?
Right. I don't know anybody from Brooklyn.
I know, right? I think when I confirm with guests that I should say that I'll be calling from a Brooklyn area code, so that way they don't think it's, you know, the mafia or something.
Right.
Awesome. Very
now.
I know, right? Cool. Well, I guess we could just close out this show.
It's quarter to one. It makes sense.
Yeah, very cool. So next week, we're getting, I'm still getting some confirmations from guests, from other nominees to the Masters Hall of Fame. So I'm getting confirmations from about four guests. So far, I've only heard from one as far as a confirmation. So stay tuned to the Dynamic Dojo Facebook page to see who our guests will be for next week. So anyhow, Sifu Daisy, thanks for sticking on the line with us and listening to the whole show.
I met a lot of wonderful people doing that.
Mm-hmm. And you're going to meet them in person next month. It's going to be awesome.
Okay, Sifu, I'll see you. Okay, I'm signing off. I'll see you in class on Tuesday.
You betcha. Thanks for joining us. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Awesome. Very cool. Very cool. That was a great, great show. I had a fun time.
That was a blast. I enjoyed it, and I look forward to meeting everybody next month at the Masters Hall of Fame on the, I guess we can consider it on the 21st and 22nd, since there's going to be stuff to do all weekend.
Yeah. 21st and 22nd of June. So for our listeners out there, go ahead and check out the website, mastershalloffame.org. Get more information. You can also join the Masters Hall of Fame Facebook page if you'd like to be kept in the loop about the future events and other announcements and stuff like that. So anyhow, I'm Rashida DeJesus, and my co-host and brother in the martial arts, Robert Deal. We had a blast during the Sunday Brunch Show, so we hope to see everyone next week. We'll talk to y'all next time. See you later, everybody. Bye-bye. Bye, Bob.
Bye.